but you've got to also look at the bigger picture. And I think that's one of the key things in running a business, is just kind of looking at that bigger picture and thinking, okay, that's going to cost me money, but ultimately the client's going to be happy.
Welcome to Contenting Business. Today, we have a spotlight session with Richard Langford, who's the director of Sharp Events Group. Sharp Events Group are an event crew supplier for major sporting events and a bespoke building team. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Tell us more about Sharp Events Group.
Okay. We rewind back. We started off as a building company. I started off as a builder. Worked for my old man for about 13 years. We had creative differences between ourselves, and I went off and started on myself in 2015. Started a building company, headed to 2019, where we were invited to work on a major sporting event, a running event down in Oxford, one of the marathons. And then from there, it kind of snowballed into something that I never thought it would. It was just chance, I suppose, at the time. And then from there, then I've just constantly pushed to develop the business and get our foot in the door with these major suppliers. So on the whole, we supply trained specialist crew in installing major sporting events. So it can be anything from the supplying teams of guys to help with installing, best way of putting this, so supplying crew to help with the actual main contractors, so they can just help out as in general crew. More specialist crew, carpenters as well, will be building sets and building stages and building timber work and framework, which we find on a lot of events, to the branding side of things. And that's where we started off, and that's where our main core work is, working with branding companies, installing on, like I said, mainly sporting events, because that's what they work on. But we are now kind of branching up a bit more to other events, not just sporting events.
Is it like the sponsor side of things? Is it like the banners for sponsors and things like that?
Yeah, so it would be, take example, last weekend we worked down in Cheltenham and we installed for Paddy Power. It was Paddy Power and Cazoo. I think Cazoo have pulled out. So Paddy Power go to the main contractor, the branding company, and then they come out to us to then install on site for them. So they do all the legwork, the project managing side of things on that, and then we supply the teams of guys that go out there on the ground and install.
Right. Okay. So the kind of crew are like additional skills that are needed on site to support like the core team.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the time we can manage. We've got a core team ourselves that kind of can manage the install ourselves, or we will bolt on to their teams of guys, which we've got today. We've got guys working on training down London today to understand more of the rental kit. So it's that part. There's two different parts to the company that we work on behalf of currently. We work for a lot of other companies, but the main bulk of the work we get, they've got their one part of it would be things like cricket and football, and you know, the main core sports that work all the time. They're on repeat every year, every season, whether it's 100 cricket or something like that, or the other part of it, which is what we work out of in Basingstoke, we work with them, is the live events. So it's more like mass participation. It can be the London Marathon, it can be the Hackney Half Marathon, it can be the 100. Again, they're live events that need reactive work, and that's kind of where we come in, because it could be a case of, we need three guys for this event. Actually, no, the next day is, we need seven. Can you sort this out? Can you build that? And it's a lot of reactive work we work on, and events tend to be like that.
It sounds like you've got real kind of flexibility in the team and the way you work.
Yeah, I think working as a builder previously, where clients would speak to you and say, right, this is the outline plan, this is what we want, and then when you come to it, it's like, actually, can we change that? We don't want that there. It's being able to be more flexible and go, yeah, do you know what? That's fine. And sometimes you've got to bite your tongue, because it kind of, you know, can be, it can cost money, it can take more time than that, but you've got to also look at the bigger picture. And I think that's one of the key things in running a business is just kind of looking at that bigger picture and thinking, okay, that's going to cost me money, but ultimately the client's going to be happy.
Mm. And you touched on that then. I mean, and you've kind of given a bit of an overview of, you know, how you've developed as a business. How have you gotten to this point in terms of, you know, what are the key elements that have brought you to where you are today?
I think it's not stopping. It's not being prepared to take no for an answer. And once, you know, it's kind of looking at something and thinking, I'm going to do this. And if somebody says no and shuts the door, then it's just still trying to find a way to do it. And I think the answer I always give is yes. I was asked, we're looking for a 6 meter Coke can in the shape of an actual Coke can. There's a DJ got to sit in the middle. So we need a cutout for the DJ, and that's going to be 6 meters high, life, like literally scale, like two scale Coke can. Can you do it? And it's, the answer is yes. Yeah, I can do it, no problem. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. I'll figure that out afterwards, but the answer is yes. And then we will figure it out. We had a job a couple of years ago at Cheltenham where through COVID, there was no crowds allowed. There was no people allowed, obviously, back in 2020 or 2021. So they took the opportunity to round the parade where they parade all the horses to brand over the top of all the turnstiles and the handles where people stand. So the idea was, we went there and they said, right, we need to get branding over the top of this. Can you do it? And so, yeah, we can figure it out. No problem. So we ended up ordering 6,500 meters of wood and building this massive kind of stage. It went over the top of the whole curve of the, we then wrapped it in a PVC vinyl. And then from the back then and from the drone shots, it looked incredible. Things like that, you've got to, and that's where we've kind of excelled in the business we're in. The answer is yes. It's yes. We can sort of, unless it's absolutely, you know, we need 20 people tomorrow, we would just not possibly do it. But most of the time, the answer is yes. And then we'll figure out how we're going to do that. So, like, you know, the theory of being a swan underwater and kicking like mad, that's me. Cool on the surface, and then we'll behind the scenes is just organized chaos.
I mean, you mentioned about, you know, that saying yes and making things happen. Obviously, it can be a bit risky sometimes, but 9 times out of 10, maybe even more than that, where there's a will, there's a way, you know, where there will be some kind of solution, even if it can't be exactly what the vision was in the customer's mind. You can usually get pretty close if you're kind of flexible and you know, proactive enough, can't you?
The thing is, there's always a way. There's always a way of doing it. You know, whatever the client asks for, there is a way of doing it. What I don't want is for somebody to say, can you do this job? And me say no, and then look on the TV and it's done. You know, yeah. I had one job last year where we were working for On Running. I don't know if we're allowed to say brands, but On Running, we did a running event for them in London. And their spec was, they wanted a green LED tunnel, like a light tunnel. So when the sprinters were running through there, because it was like an elite night of the 10K, I think it was called. It was like personal best PBs for the elite runners. So it was like a day and night thing. And once it got to night, then obviously the green lights come on. So the light tunnel looked incredible on camera and everything else. So the scope was, they want some framework to go around this marquee and they want green lights to go through the middle of it. And an electrician, I was on some Zoom calls with them, and he was saying to me, it can't be done. What we'll do is we'll get a rope light and we'll do this green rope light and we'll put some black tape on it. And I looked at him and thought, that'll look rubbish. Like, I'm quite, that's one thing about me. I'm quite stickler for detail. And if it's not right, we will do it again. I don't care what the cost is, it will be done again. And it will make sure that, because especially the way socials are nowadays and the way people can just post a picture online and say, is this right? Could this be done like this? Because you don't want any comeback on anything you do. So it can be done right. And you want to make sure you do it right first time. That's quite, anyway, on that, going back onto it, I spoke to the electrician. He's like, it can't really be done. We can do it this way. And I said, no, I said, we'll find a way. And I was just online, I was on the Zoom meeting. And I found these lights, individual LED tubes. I said, can be done, here you go. And the thing was, at a point, I could have just turned around and gone, oh, okay, well, it can't be done, so that's fine. And ultimately, we lose money as a company. We don't get the job. The company I work for doesn't get the job. They push it back to the client to go, no, it can't be done. And then that chain of suppliers and all my guys lose that work. But instead, it's like, yeah, we can sort this. We can do this. I know there's a product out there that can be done. I don't know how we're going to find it, but we will. And a lot of the stuff with the event side of things is a lot of that. It is kind of thinking outside the box a lot, without sounding cliche, of how we're going to do it. Not necessarily it can't be done, it can, it's just how, and then obviously applying the budget to that at the time.
I suppose the thing is as well, it's not just that you've potentially lost that opportunity, it's the future opportunities, you know, especially if it is found out that something can be done after the fact and it wasn't done. It's like, well, I'm not going to go back to those guys again, because they're, you know, whether it's seen as negative or just, you know, just haven't got their skills or whatever, you know. So even if you take that hit on that particular job, you know, might erode your margin a little bit, might take your costs up a little bit, you're preserving that future opportunity as well.
Yeah. And from the back of that London job, they had an event then in Paris, and then they had an event then in Vienna. So the kit that went to London went to Paris and went to Vienna off the back of that then. Suddenly you've gone from, I don't know, let's say a £5,000 job to travelling across Europe for 21, 22 days. And suddenly it's a £20,000 job as a figure, you know, just wasn't. But let's say, you know, it does bolt onto that. And I find that is something that in the events world is quite... there's a lot of links between that world, and especially the sporting events. You find that a lot of people go between similar events, a lot of freelancers, and a lot of networking happens through that. I've only just got off a call 20 minutes ago with one of my consultants who does the events, because we're chatting about something else on another business we're thinking about setting up. So just by having him as a contact for an event I met once, all of a sudden then he then employs us on future jobs, and now we're talking about even more future work. And it only takes that yes we can do it, yes we can help you out, and getting that relationship, build that relationship with the client, that kind of has, I have found, sometimes it doesn't work, you know, and you've got to keep knocking at the door, but I have found that has been quite successful for us.
I love that. So what's the vision for the business? What's the kind of ultimate goal?
Well, like I said before, so we obviously had the building work to start with, the building company. That ran up until April this year. And we're still the same company. We changed the name. The reason we changed the name was because we were tendering for work for big companies like British Heart Foundation. We were tendering for a job this last summer for them. And when it went through, because it was called Richard Langford Building Services, and which obviously took me a long time to think of that company name. But yeah, so that when we were tendering for jobs and it came through to the desk, I think somebody turned around and said, Richard Langford Building Services, what they're building on this event, you know, why are we having builders on this event? So it just didn't fit the sad criteria that you need to be to kind of be the company, be the face of what they expect, if you know what I mean. Whereas that's what, so we changed the company name back in April last year. So last year really was our first full year of Sharp Events Group up until April this year. So we're still in that first, if you like, year, even though I've been trading for 7-8 years myself and obviously the team and everything else, the actual company name changed. And what that meant was we turned from building work and events work to then we just fully went to events. So looking forward for us, this is at the end of our, April will be the end of our first full year as an events kind of install crewing agency. And then obviously now people are booking us on for future events. My aim is to grow to a stage with a team where I don't want to get too big. I'm not interested in having hundreds of people working underneath me. It's got to be the quality's got to be there, and that's really hard to find. So small scale, up to 15-20 guys, and be more niche and skilled. I'm finding that the more niche and skilled you are, then yes, the less work you'll get, because on one hand you are more skilled and costing more money, but then you've got to have a value on what you can supply and what your costs are and what you want to make ultimately in the business. So with that then, for us looking forward, it's having bookings ahead and not just like next week, next month. It's kind of like we're already booking in June, July, August this year, September. We're booking already for September. And for me, it's having that concrete kind of year on year on year repeat bookings with clients. But that is hard because clients' needs change. You know, it's not like you're not working in a factory where you've got just the same product on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. You know, the sponsors change, the companies change, companies go under and take over new management. That's happened this year with one of the big clients we work with, because events have changed, like mass participation has dived. Like, there's not, since COVID, there's a big massive spike straight after COVID of people wanting to go outside and run and, you know, take part in these events, and sponsors were all over that and it went mad, and our business kind of piggybacked the back of that, and we kind of joined that massive push. And then obviously now 22 and then 23, it's kind of gone, we've seen a massive drop in what it was straight from COVID, where it went up, it's kind of teetered down to what now we class as like a normal kind of rate of work. So you can kind of now start to see an idea of where we are after COVID. But with the mass participation stuff, which was a big income earner for us, the sponsors aren't there anymore. You know, you used to have like Virgin Sport used to sponsor Oxford Half, and they've pulled out. You don't get big sponsors. Like London Marathon isn't sponsored by a big sporting name. It's it was TCS last year, which is still a big company, but it's, you have on the smaller events, you don't have massive sponsors. If you don't get massive sponsors in, the companies can't, the money isn't there in the companies, the production companies that are working on that. And then underneath that, and suppliers are then squeezed for prices because they need to do it cheaper, or they get volunteers in. You know, and then the branding company is rather than they've got a budget of 50 grand or 100 grand for that event, suddenly it's down to like 20 or 30. You know, and then that effect also has an effect on us right at the very bottom, if you like, a part of that supply chain.
I think I was going to ask you, you know, what do you think some of the challenges are reaching that goal? But that sounds like a potential challenge there. I think the observation is that you do seem like, you know, the way you've pivoted the company at points and you've been flexible and everything. And I'm guessing, is that what you think you're going to need to do to keep that growth going? Is obviously kind of roll with the times, I guess. You've got to be fluid.
Every year there's something new. There's a new company. There's new events on. There's new ideas. You know, like for the 100, for example, the 100 cricket. When I spoke to one of the project managers the last August when I was there with her, so it's a 5-year kind of contract, and that's what happens. They'll sign up for a 5-year contract. There's a budget of whatever it is a year, and then off the back of that, then obviously the suppliers get in to install the activations, they call them, whether it's a selfie kind of selfie pod or whatever it is. So obviously there's a supply chain underneath that, from the logistics all the way down to the installers and everything else and the project managers. And then once that budget's cut, there will be something else, but it's just kind of finding out what that next thing is. So you need to keep in with project managers and obviously the corporate side of things. But yeah, it is constantly changing. You know, we do London to Brighton, so we supply production managers for London to Brighton bike ride. So that's a different kind. It's the same part of the business, but rather than have crew leaders, managers, we have production managers. So the production managers aren't necessarily on the ground installing the stuff themselves. They are working directly for the client and then assisting with the overlay and install of the event. So it's another level up for us. We've got guys that are capable of doing that and really good at that. But it's working again with new clients. So it's trying to find a way. I'm thinking, right, the guys we've got, the skill set is good. They can run teams. They can look at a plan and implement what's there. And then the client going, actually, you guys are good. We'll hire you for the next whatever. So it's quite broad on what we cover, but it has to be, because if you just stayed at one job, then you'll be sitting still a lot. You've got to be able to adapt and change. I know a lot of businesses will say that anyway, but like, you have got to, especially in this industry. It's a very fast flowing industry where things do change quite quickly as well. So something could come in, a job could come in tomorrow that all of a sudden, British Women have decided they're going to rebrand everything. That could happen like that. Or a good example was the Olympics this summer. So the company we work on behalf of, or we contract to a lot of, they've won all the branding, wayfinding and install of the Olympics this year. Now, normally that would be a 2-year project. where the project manager would go in, and then obviously the Commonwealth Games, I think it was a year and a half for Birmingham, so they got all the staff in and everything else, and everything was in line for about 2 years, 18 months, whereas they won it in October. They've got 10 months to deliver that event in 10 months. So the timescale on that is squashed down, which what it means is at the minute we've had a chat about potentially going out there, so we might be going out there to install some of the Olympics issue, which we would be incredible to work on one of the biggest, you know, events in the world would be, for me, it's goals really on where we want to be. But it will be a last minute call if we get it, because they're so busy at the minute trying to go to venues, measure up, get the print ordered, get the banners done, get whatever. They're doing all that work, and eventually they'll go, right, how many people do we need to install this? They go, I need 10. Well, we haven't got 10. And that's kind of where we get the call. So you've got to be prepared that, and all my guys know that this summer, from July, August, we could have a call to say, can we have 10 guys to go out to France like that? Which is not ideal, because you want to be able to plan. But this is the whole thing about being fluid and working with what happens when it's a live event.
And so, finding a way, like you said, about finding a way to make it work. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I think it sounds like a lot of the work you get is, you know, the recommendations, that word of mouth, that repeat business. What else do you do in terms of marketing your business at the moment? What have you found works on a marketing side, and what do you find difficult to do?
Started using LinkedIn more. We don't have a website. I think a lot of it, as it was word of mouth, the work just came in because of me and obviously what I'd done and the rapport I build up with clients over the years. That was kind of a way that it works. I think it works like that anyway in a lot of businesses. But obviously when we get quieter, nearer the winter time, because the sporting events, obviously most of them are summertime. It's kind of March till September. And then from that then, obviously we've still got this machine of work. We've got workshop, we've got vehicles, we've got crew, we've got tools and everything ready to go. And you kind of like, you don't want to, you've had that momentum from the summer, which is amazing. Then suddenly it's like, the guys know that that's kind of the events industry. But it's trying to find that, the gap filler, if you like. And for me, the gap of a filler would be production work and TV work, things like that, that can, because they work all year round. But regarding marketing and stuff, LinkedIn is somewhere I've noticed that I didn't think it was going to be, I didn't think it'd get anything off it, to be honest. I thought, because obviously originally I'd be on Facebook or I'd be on Instagram, and I'd use that and I wouldn't advertise. We'd just post on what we're doing, where we are. And we've got to be really careful with the events world, because especially the branding, there's times where brands don't want you to post. You know, you've got to ask for permission on certain things. And I have to anyway. You can't just post online a build-up of an event. And actually the inductions that you take does specifically say no pictures or shared online of build-up or breakdown, because of obviously there's risk for terrorism where they can see where to put things or ways of getting into the site or things like that. So from a safety point of view, we're not allowed to. But from the branding point of view, if they're launching something and launching a new brand, they don't want you to be posting that online. So sometimes it's difficult, but with asking permission, I find that the social media platforms like Instagram and Facebook have been helpful, but more with the building work, they were very helpful because people relate, they can see what you're doing, you're totally transparent and you're doing GoPro videos and things like that, and people like that. With the event side of things, unless you're in that industry, then I don't think that Instagram or Facebook are necessarily a good tool, personally. I think they're there in the background, but I haven't found much success from those. Mm. Whereas LinkedIn, which I didn't think would be successful, just posting the odd post about, you know, more about what we've done. We don't advertise. It's more about, this is what we've done, these are the clients we've worked with, or this is what we've done over the last 6 months, anything we can help with, get in touch, or something like that. And then off the back of that, I had a phone call from the head of director of events for British Swimming. And they asked me to be overlay manager last October for the World Para Swimming World Championships in Manchester. So I was overlay manager, so I took on the role and went with them. And off the back of that, then we got the British Championships, which is March this year. And again, they've asked me to do the same role. So I'll be working as overlay manager for the British Women at the British Championship, which is the qualifiers for the Olympics. And they are actually launching, they're rebranding British Women are for that event. So that'll be interesting. But that was through LinkedIn. So I put one post on LinkedIn, suddenly you get, I've had two or three clients and contacts from that. So it kind of made me think, okay, well, it's just the wrong audience, really.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a different customer, haven't you, from a, like a local kind of, you know, personal customer to a corporate, a very different corporate customer, you know, people in particular roles rather than people who, I guess, are browsing, you know, for building work on an evening or you know, word of mouth and or sharing between friends type thing.
Yeah, I think it's a, like Instagram, for example, would be just... It's something to say you're there. It's something to say you're, you know, if somebody searches you, it's like, oh, that's that company. And I don't think you're going to necessarily get work off that, but it's just something to be present.
100%.
I've not pushed a website, but I think that's something I will now. I think it's just looking to push more work. I've gone directly to the companies. A lot of them I've probably sent 40, 50 emails, just introduction emails, and just being a bit more bold. And just rather than sitting there hoping people kind of contact you, it's like, actually, I can see on LinkedIn they're advertising for, you know, please make contact with us if you've, yeah, we're looking for to hire, we're looking for this. Well, I'm thinking, you know what? What harm can it do? So I've just sent emails directly to, it's got to be about 40 companies over the winter. A couple have come back, and all you need is one or two decent clients off the back of that, just from saying, hello, this is us. And it might be a little bit bold, but... I've had people inbox me before, installers saying, you know, I'm a high ropes installer. It's not what we do necessarily, but there is obviously on branding, there'll be high rope stuff from that they can only specialize, they specialize in those installs. Now, if a job comes in where they say, we're looking at getting this banner put up on the Eiffel Tower, can you do it? And then the answer is, actually, I know this guy, this emailed me, this got all the accreditation and all the qualifications he's got, and there's his background. Yes, I can actually. I can, yeah. Yeah, we can. We can sort that out, no problem. And it's, I suppose it's just, I don't mind that coming into me on the inbox. So I kind of think, well, on the reverse, it can sit in somebody's inbox for 3 months, but they might go, actually, you know what? I've recognised that name. Because, again, like I said, a lot of people do link through. So it'd be interesting to see what comes off the back of that. And now with the event side of stuff, it's turn of January to March where they start booking things and looking ahead for the summer events. So now is a key time in getting your bookings in, because they will come in over the summer anyway, because there'll be last minute things, let down things, additional things from clients. But now is the kind of key time to be pushing the marketing for the business, I think.
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah, it sounds like a really critical time if this is the period where people are actively, you know, seeking for the suppliers. Yeah, absolutely. Well, a final question for me is what with obviously your experience and your journey, what's the one piece of advice that you'd give to another business owner?
Pricing is key. I think something I've learned that when I first started with a building and it's just me and a young lad and you're doing it for, in hindsight, not a lot of money and you're making profit. Profit is not a dirty word. And I think one thing I have learned with all this is you've got to work out your margins and make sure that profit's there all the time. It's hard to do. It is really hard to do. That's why not everyone runs businesses. And that's why I still look and think, well, I can do better. I can do more. There's a way I can progress this business and make more money. Whereas somebody might look at me and go, well, you're really successful. Well, for me, I'll look and go, well, I don't really see that as success. I see this as like, I'm still on the journey of like progressing, if that makes sense. But yeah, profit is not a dirty word. And don't be afraid of making your margins and standing your ground and actually walking away from jobs. I've had jobs where people want you to do it for X amount of money. And you can go, before, when I first started, it's like, yes, I'll do it because I need the money. You need to build your business. When you actually stand back to say no, because I value my own time and money, I value myself and my business and everything I do at this, and you're asking me to do it for less, I'd rather walk away. and not be in the rat race to do things for nothing. And I think I find that with the work we do, a lot of the time it's like, oh, these guys are doing it cheaper. Well, at the time, sometimes you'll look and go, yeah, okay, I can lower my price. But actually, once you start being established in business, you shouldn't be. If you value your cost at that, that's what you should push forward. And I think the only way you can progress business is by actually standing by that and doing that.
100%.
And not being afraid to make profit, because that's the key in a successful business.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that the key message there really is that value. You know, if you know that the value is not in terms of value, cheap value, it's quality value. It's the complete flip side of it. And that's usually the anchor that people place. Is it a price thing or is it a quality thing? And you can be a business that's focused on price, but inevitably you will have to be the kind of business that offers low quality. You know, if you're a business that focuses on quality, then you can command that higher price because it's value. It's the value in the quality that people are paying for.
I think that's the key thing. It's making sure the quality is there no matter what. And being prepared yourself to take the hit, because sometimes if it's not right, you've got to take that hit to make sure it's right, because you do a crappy job for one client, you're only as good as your last job. And again, it's quite a cliche thing, but it is. You know, if you do a really bad job for that client, they will never book you on again. You do a good job for that client, you may have 10 bookings ahead, and that might cost you money to do that. And for me, it's cost me a fortune over the years just making sure that. And you take losses, you know, you have people roll on you and all that kind of thing. So, that's the key point I would make is just don't be afraid. If you're good at what you do, the money will follow. And like, I'm a stickler for detail and not being afraid to stand your ground, although awkward sometimes in awkward situations. You go, no, that's the cost, and being prepared to walk away for your own because you value yourself.
I love that. That's brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us. That was a great, great conversation. Loads more insights for everyone listening and watching. Probably could carry on and have another conversation, maybe have another catch up in the future and see how things are going, maybe after the summer when you've had a whirlwind of a year.
No, definitely.
So you can find Sharp Events Group online. For everyone listening and watching, we'll link to your social profiles for now in the show notes. And everybody as well, head to the Playfair website to catch up on all Contenting Business episodes, like and rate this show. And please follow us for future episodes as well. And apart from that, thank you for listening and watching, everyone. And thanks, Rich.
Cheers, sir. Thank you.